pretty hard to imagine a player going to a new team in a new city and having a better season than Josh Donaldson did. And we're very pleased to be joined by the 2015 American League Most Valuable Player, Josh Donaldson. Josh, thank you so much for doing this morning.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for having me.
Well, let me ask you this. Kind of a simple question here, but being American League Most Valuable Player, what does it mean to you?
You know what? I mean, it means a lot just for the fact that it means, obviously, you had a great year. And two, for just personally, just kind of, you know, from really struggling at the beginning of my major league career to, you know, trying to find my way and, you know, for what some people, and it's true, you know, kind of being in the late bloomer area, of my career, you know, I think it gives a lot of other people hope too, that they can still figure this game of baseball out in a way for where they could have some successful seasons.
You know, I think one of maybe the most interesting part of your development as a player is, you know, as you said, you are a late bloomer, and you know, it's one of the beauties about baseball, I think, is nobody, a lot of times you can't plan out when you finally figure it out. It just happens. What was it for you? Was it the position shift, or was it, you know, something you discovered about yourself, about your hitting, just something that made it all come together?
You know what, Jeff? I think it was a little bit of everything. I think the position change, you know, my first few years in professional baseball, I really struggled with trying to be an everyday catcher, just for the fact that, you know, in college I did both. I played third base and I played catcher as well, and I didn't really buy into the fact that I was going to be a catcher every day. You know, I felt like I wanted to play a more athletic position, but come to find out, catchers are really demanding, and you have to be a pretty good athlete to be back there. I think that's what kind of sidetracked me for a little bit, is getting used to being a catcher every day, because in college I didn't catch every day. I never did that. And then ultimately, I think what's got me to the point now is I took the time to try to identify what kind of player I wanted to be. And then I just seeked out information and a game plan on how I wanted to accomplish that. And, you know, fortunately I've had the right people to kind of guide me in the right areas. And, you know, here we are today.
Now, when you came to the Blue Jays and came to the Rogers Center, I think the first thing a lot of people thought is this guy's offensive numbers are going to be off the charts, because it is such a good hitter's park. And I know you talked about how I remember having a discussion with you and me, and you talked about how you don't have to worry about how much loft you're getting on the ball or things like that. You can just put a good swing on the ball and it's going to travel here, and the results are going to be good for you. But I think a lot of people, anytime a player comes to Toronto, the first question is, how are you going to handle artificial turf? You know, knock on wood, you stayed healthy. And I think the artificial turf, we talked about this a bit, it actually helped your defense, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, I would say that it maybe helped. I actually felt like I played I know my defensive metrics this year were not as high as they had been in the past years, but I actually felt like I had a really good year defensively, and especially when Tulowitzki came over. You know, the past couple of years, I've kind of had struggled with a few throwing errors here or there, and, you know, he's such a great defender, and, you know, he makes the game look really slow defensively, and just being able to pick his brain and work on a few things mechanically in the throwing process definitely helped. But the artificial turf was also a little tricky, because that second bounce, you didn't really know what it was going to do. That's why this year I had to bare hand so many balls, because I wasn't able to be as aggressive sometimes on balls, because I didn't really, the unpredictability of the way the bounce was going to go sometimes was tough. But the turf, as far as health concerns this year, I felt like, and I only played a few games on it in years past, but I felt like this year's turf was It definitely was better for your body. It wasn't as hard on your body, but it definitely hit the body in different areas. I remember in 2014 we played Tampa, and then we came to Toronto, and after that series, I felt like I needed a wheelchair to get out of this place. And so I honestly, when I was traded, it definitely felt like I was a little apprehensive of what it was going to be to my body, but you know, I wasn't going to let that be a burden on me mentally. I knew that the training staff would help me get through it and just kind of pick another guy's brains about it. And just really just trying to stay on top of my body, try to be more preventative than anything. And like I said, our training staff did a great job with me this year and kept me on the field, which was a great thing for me.
Now, it was roughly a year ago today, the 28th, actually, will be the year anniversary of the trade to Toronto from Oakland. You know, now that you look back at that, what was that, you know, your initial apprehensions maybe of coming here and the way it all worked out? How do you view the whole deal now? When you have you given yourself a chance to sit back and say, okay, how did this happen? How did it come about? And what does it mean?
Well, I tried not to think too much of how or why it happened. You know, I do believe things happen for a reason. And, you know, this was, at first, it took me a while to kind of get over the shock. But, you know, right now, I said this earlier after one of my interviews, after some of these awards, that I really love Toronto. I love the city. I love, you know, the people, just the way that they have supported me, you know, kind of right out of the get-go this year. And then just throughout the entire year, how people, you know, just kind of, you know, continue to, you know, support me throughout the year. And just, this isn't a plug by any means, but I am for our Thanksgiving's coming up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing something. I just created an Instagram account not too long ago. I'm going to be giving away a pair of cleats on Instagram. And my Instagram account is at TOS for Toronto, mm-hmm. _ BOR20.
Okay.
And it's some of the cleats I used on Canada Day. But I really love the city of Toronto, and I could see myself, you know, spending my entire career here.
That sounds like an open invitation to Tony LeCav and Mark Shapiro to begin negotiations on a long-term contract. Have there been any? And
honestly, I don't know about any. My agent and stuff are, I would assume they would start talking. I know they had the GM meetings not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I assume they'll start talking probably the next week, because obviously I do have an arbitration case that might possibly happen. Who knows? But with that being said, you know, I really enjoy playing in Toronto. I feel like this is a great environment for me. It really sets up well for what I'm capable of doing. And I think it's a great place to be at. And like I said, I would like to be here for a while.
You know, one of the things that's interesting, too, because you are a late bloomer, I mean, quite frankly, and a lot of people have pointed this out, this you know, this could be your one shot at that big multi-year contract. Do you view the next year as being important for you that way? Or, you know, are you kind of a guy who just is going to kind of take it as it comes? Because, you know, you didn't seem to get too worked up about the arbitration hearing last year. And I can tell you, I've covered guys who would not like to go to an arbitration hearing with their new team. First thing, it's not always the best way to start a relationship with the club. Didn't seem to matter to you. You just seemed to show up, play hard, and have an MVP season.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't look at it as I try not to look at things, you know, very at a, you know, poignant point of view as far as, you know, they don't think of me highly or this and that, or look at it as negative things. I actually didn't mind the process. It was you know, the players union fought for the arbitration system. This wasn't something, you know, that was just the owners or anything like that. The arbitration system's meant for the players. And trust me, I spent 5 or 6 years or 4 years in the minor leagues before I saw a comma in my check.
Mm-hmm.
So, to get to the point where I'm at today, I'm very thankful. And, it's not something that I look at the team negatively about. I look at this as a business, just the way they do, as far as that's concerned. Look, I just love to play the game of baseball, and I get opportunity to make a living out of this. And at the end of the day, I want to make sure that my family's taken care of, and and myself's going to be taken care of. But what I love the most is being able to go out there every day and help my team win, and to go out there and compete. And, this year I felt like our team broke down a lot of barriers that this city's been trying to break through for a while. And I feel like this is just the first step going in the right direction.
Now, when you guys do show up at spring training this year, and we don't know what moves Tony LaCava has in store, but chances are you're going to show up maybe without David Price, likely without Mark Burley. There are going to be some big personalities that aren't going to be there. And even guys who were just there for a couple of months or 6 weeks, like David Price, is that going to put a certain type of pressure on guys like yourself and Jose Bautista to kind of make sure that clubhouse dynamic that existed, even guys like Mark Lowe, who were an important part of it, is it going to put pressure on you guys to make sure that it is as good a clubhouse as it appeared to be at the end of the season?
Well, I tell you, if David or Mark doesn't, if they're not able to re-sign back with the Blue Jays, they're definitely going to be missed because they're great personalities to have in our clubhouse. But I think a lot of this started, in spring training last year, and then kind of steadily building forward to where we are now. I feel like we've set the tone of what we want in a clubhouse and what we need in a clubhouse and what we need to be able to go out there every day and, be competitive. I think people realize that. And, there's probably going to be a few new guys added here or there. I know Jesse Chavez, I was able to play with him in Oakland. He's going to fit right in and be, a very welcome member of this team. And, I think what's important, Jeff, is, we have a great set of core players in Toronto right now. And the people that are going to be added to that are going to understand as soon as they come into the clubhouse what's going to be asked of them each and every day.
Josh, listen, it was great of you to do this again on behalf of everybody here and, all the baseball fans in this city. Congratulations. It was a lot of fun watching you play this year. I think as a lot of us have said, you have to go back to Roberto Alomar to kind of come up with a guy who had the type of season you had in so many ways and make the impact you made in this team, both on the field and off the field. So thank you very much for doing this. Enjoy a great off season and a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well.
Jeff, I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully, like I said earlier, this season can kind of continue for years to come.